This is the other side of midnight on 77 WABC. I'm Frank Morano. So for as long as I've been politically aware, at least as long as I've been able to vote, I have never really identified with either of the two major political parties. I've never really identified as a conservative or a liberal. And I've always sort of been bummed as a guy that loves to consume media, read books, listen to talk radio, certainly, watch news on television, that there was never really anybody that seemed to speak to me. Now, in the last few years, there do seem to be a few more potent voices that represent the independent political movement, but far too few for my take. And then sure enough, I have devoted a big portion of my life on the radio and in politics to finding solutions to how we can end this gridlock, which has seemed to prevent any sort of progress from being made. And I caught one really fascinating op-ed last weekend in the New York Daily News. And by and large, these days, the Daily News is not a paper that is one of my go-tos for opinion. And this op-ed really spoke to me, and I should not have been at all surprised at the man that wrote it, because he's someone whose work I have been following for a long time and wishing that people in Washington and in Albany would be following his lead on a bit more often. He's an attorney and the founder of Campaign for Common Good. He's also an author whose latest book is Try Common Sense, Replacing the Failed Ideologies of the Right and the Left. I'm very pleased to be talking with Philip K. Howard. Philip, thanks so much for joining me on the radio this morning.
Nice to be with you.
So let's start before we talk about this terrific op-ed you wrote in the New York Daily News. Boy, common sense and trying common sense strikes me as a very worthy goal, which far too few opinion leaders seem to be embracing these days. But what exactly is the Campaign for Common Good? What exactly are you guys trying to do?
You know, what we're doing is that we're focusing on the operating system of government. So the parties talk about, should we have more government or should we deregulate? And for 40 years now, that's all they've been arguing about. And many of the frustrations of Americans were that things don't work. The schools don't work. The teachers can't keep control of the classroom. It takes, you know, 6 or 8 or 10 years to get a permit for some infrastructure project. Healthcare costs twice as much as it should. And a lot of that just goes to red tape. And so people aren't focusing on why is it that Americans, who are practical people, why can't we just roll up our sleeves and make things happen? And just to cut to the bottom line, we've actually created a system of government that doesn't let people use common sense. It's aimed at telling people not only what to do, but exactly how to do it. You know, not only do you have to have a safe workplace, but you have to have the plug be exactly 2 3/4 inches above this and to the side of that. You know, it's like crazy. It's like, so we've invented this system of central planning, which we call democracy, but it's really, you know, it's just a, you know, migraine headache of,
so,
over red tape.
I think anybody listening to this, whether they're a Democrat or Republican, would have a difficult time arguing with what you just said and saying, oh, no, Washington is actually working exactly as it should. I don't know anybody across the political spectrum that thinks that's the case. But let's start with what's wrong with the left and the right. The left, for instance, what are they getting wrong about addressing the country's problems?
Okay. I'm probably much more sympathetic to the left goals. The left gets a couple of things wrong. First, they believe in this idea of these 1,000-page rule books, which causes people to fail because they don't trust anybody, which is okay. I don't trust people either, but it's not working very well. And then two, their biggest special interest groups are, for example, public unions. And the public unions make schools unmanageable. And they make government unmanageable. And they make the MTA cost twice as much as it should. You know? So So the left is like committed to a bunch of groups that prevent government from working.
Yeah. We're talking with Philip K. Howard. He's an attorney and an author. He's the author of the book, Try Common Sense, Replacing the Failed Ideologies of Right and Left. I did enjoy your op-ed in USA Today on the public sector unions, and I'm going to ask you about that. But let's give the right their due as well. What is it that the right is getting wrong? They're certainly very tough on things like public sector unions. What are they missing when it comes to solving our problems?
It's interesting. They keep focusing on getting rid of government when the more crowded and the more interdependent we are, you know, as economies around the world, the more you need government insight. I mean, oversight. You can't, you know, nobody's going to check for themselves whether the toys have lead paint on them or the water is pollution. So they ought to be focusing on how to make the legitimate goals of government work better. Instead, all they do is stand on a soapbox and basically bluster about getting rid of government. Well, it just doesn't work. And I'm very sympathetic to the idea of libertarians, for example, because their core idea, which is let people do things in their own way, I agree with. But you can't. But letting people do things in their own way won't keep the water clean. You know, somebody has to have the job of keeping the water clean. So they're just not realistic about the need in a crowded society for government, for public oversight. So, you know, both sides are kind of, as I say in the book, you know, it's as if they have a pact. Mm. Where they take turns in power, and they go to each other. They say, first you fail, and then I fail.
It's certainly disconcerting. So let me talk to you about this op-ed that was in the Daily News, the political infrastructure we need now. What exactly do we need to do to fix our politics so we could get things done?
Yeah, exactly. So let's just talk about this infrastructure bill. So there's a lot in there. I mean, there's a lot in there that makes sense, and it's way too much. I mean, it's like a opening gambit by Biden. But leave that to the side. Let's say that at least half of it is a really good idea. There are at least three problems. Is that first, what are they going to spend it on? I mean, you can say you're going to spend $100 billion on roads and bridges and stuff, but okay, which roads and bridges? Who's deciding? Well, the way Washington works is that there's this feeding frenzy and all these hogs are roughing, you know, kind of rushing toward the trough. So you're going to end up with all kinds of lousy projects. So there needs to be some mechanism that's trustworthy that says we're going to spend this in the right way. So in New York City, we happen to have this real need. It's a $30 billion project to build a new rail tunnel. That's completely obvious, and that will get done. But we don't want to build bridges to nowhere and teapot museums with the money. You know, you want to make the infrastructure work better. So one, you need to set priorities. Two, the permitting is a disaster. In the $800 billion stimulus in 2009, only the 3-some% got spent on infrastructure. Why is that?
Right. Because well, it's laden with
shovel-ready projects.
Right. It's laden with pork that would presumably benefit a lot of the special interests that are aiding the people that wrote that bill. Philip K. Howard. So we have to actually have infrastructure bills that are about infrastructure. What else? What are the other key solutions to fixing our
problems? Well, so you've got to be able to give permits, and that requires clear lines of authority to make decisions. So you don't, there's one project a few years ago, you know, like 5 years ago, they raised the roadway of the Bayonne Bridge to go into Newark Harbor. This is the project that used the foundations of the existing 80-year-old bridge, had no environmental impact. it took 5 years, and they had a 20,000-page environmental assessment. They had to do studies of every historic building within a 2-mile radius, even though the project wasn't touching any buildings.
It's insane. It's insane. This is no one would believe this if you told them this.
Yeah,
is what
exactly. It's like a parody of government. And so we need to streamline the permitting process so that environmental review can focus on what's important, and you can actually get a permit or get a decision, yay or nay, within a year or two. So that's the second thing. And the third thing that needs to happen is we've got to stop wasting the money. You know, the Second Avenue subway in New York costs $2.5 billion per mile. The a similar rail tunnel using the same machine in Paris, France, cost $450 million, or less than 1/5 as much. Why is that? Because the labor contracts in New York State required like 3 times as many people to operate the machine as are needed. Why do we tolerate that? Why do we actually burn money? On the East Side Access, which is this Long Island Railroad coming into Grand Central, an auditor found that there were 200 people on the job who were not even on the job. They never came. They just got paid. So we have this kind of culture of labor freebies, which the politicians have given into for years, which is, well, it's corruption, really. And it's institutionalized corruption. Mm. So we need to stop it. Those are the three things that need to get fixed. And so what I recommend is that we create something like a base closing commission. I'd call it a National Infrastructure Board, and be nonpartisan, and it would actually wouldn't have power, but it would set priorities. It would oversee these processes and shine the spotlight where all these abuses happen.
Mm. Well, I mean, it strikes me as three, you know, not to give your book a plug, but it strikes me as three very common sense approaches that I can't imagine any Democrat, Republican, liberal or conservative opposing. I do hope you'll come back because I've always so enjoyed your work and I've enjoyed talking with you this morning. But in terms of the public sector unions, we've seen a little bit of this in New York with the stranglehold that the teachers union has on getting to decide whether schools are open or closed or not, irrespective of what the science says. But give folks, and we have a lot of union people that listen to this show and a lot of public sector union people that listen to this show, cops, firefighters, retired teachers, retired sanitation and the like. Explain to folks what else public sector unions are doing that's potentially problematic for taxpayers.
The biggest problem with public sector unions is not that the people are bad. They're not. We need these people. I'm for, you know, part of my message is that we need to give people in government more freedom and more authority to do their jobs so they can use their common sense. The problem is that the unions have become an effort to kind of manage government itself. They're not trying to help government. They're trying to prevent the people in government from doing the job. So, you know, the voters elect somebody to be governor or mayor, and then that person is supposed to be in charge of the MTA or in charge of the schools. And they push a button and nothing happens because the union contracts don't let it. So the unions have basically kind of eviscerated the whole idea of democracy. And so what I'm talking to people about now is that, wait a minute, this should be unconstitutional. A union shouldn't be able to replace the will of the people. I'm all for paying people more. I'd pay teachers more. I've got a daughter who's a teacher in a public school in Brooklyn. I'm all for honoring the people who work for government, but their contracts make it so that they can't be, you know, accountable if they do a lousy job. And they have all this feather bedding in it. They're like, the MTA costs twice as much as it should, that sort of thing.
Well,
so, you know, it's just a... It's not right. It's not the way democracy is supposed to work.
That is for sure. Philip K. Howard, I do appreciate the time this morning. Hope everybody checks out your book. I've read it, Try Common Sense, Replacing the Failed Ideologies of Right and Left. And at the very least, I do hope they read this op-ed, which really spoke to me. I'm going to link to it on my Facebook page at facebook.com/MoranoFan. Hope we can chat again.